Entendeu? Você tem que ganhar? Ok.
Yeah, the first hole, huh? The other step into first hole. If you think of it, if you have a chance, this will second. So I want to say from my review, if you have a chance, there's no more from Southern Tony. Zach, sit down, please. Thank you, sir.
Okay, ready? Okay. This month, the show has been sponsored by Merrill and Gary Hoffman and family in memory of Avram Leib and Usher Hoffman Zalt. December 3rd. Okay, tonight's topic is a sugya that's very relevant to Halacha L'maaseh in terms of Hilchos Tefillin. That's the issue of Chatzitza in terms of Tefillin. So we really have to address the topic on two different fronts. First of all, in terms of, is there a problem altogether for Chatzitza? Is Chatzitza even an issue in terms of Hilchos Tefillin? Are there any differences between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, perhaps? And then, assuming that there is a potential problem of Chatzitza, which we may very well at least paskei, at least be Torah Sofek, maybe there's a problem, the question becomes, what exactly constitutes a Chatzitza? What is considered in Halacha to be a Chatzitza in terms of Tefillin and what not? And particularly the issue is, how does this relate to other areas of Halacha in terms of Chatzitza, those issues related to Hilchos Tevilah? So it comes the first time on the Kamos, Gemara of all places, the Masechus Erechin, that really starts the sugya off. The Gemara quotes a braisa that says, "Hakol chayavim betfillin, kohanim levim v'yisraelim." So the Gemara really jumps to the braisa and says, that's a pretty pashut statement. Pshita, if not kohanim levim v'yisraelim, who else is supposed to put on tefillin? So the Gemara says, no, kohanim is tzrichlei. The reason why the braisa words in such a strange way is to tell you a chiddush that even a kohen has to wear tefillin. Why should anyone in the right mind think a kohen doesn't have to wear tefillin? I would have said the following Havamina. Ho luksiv ukshatim, we all say adecha, we all say tefos ben anecha. It's a package deal. Called the Isa ibn mitzvah diyad, Isa ibn mitzvah derosh, that whoever can fulfill the mitzvah tefillin shel yad has to fulfill tefillin shel rosh. And the Hani Kohanim Hovelis Neib Mitzvah Diyad, whereas Kohanim don't wear Tefillin Shel Yad. Now here, the Kohanim shouldn't think they can get a bargain out of this one. They can give back the Tefillin Shel Yad. So what it means is B'shasa Avoda, when the Kohen is involved in Avoda Sekabonis, the Gemara explains, so he does not wear the Tefillin Shel Yad. So I might think he doesn't wear the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Also, Kamash Milan know that each mitzvah is separate and distinct, and even if you're exempt from one, you're still chayiv in the other. Why in the world doesn't the Kohen B'shasa Avoda wear the Tefillin Shel Yad? So the Gemara gives a very complicated reason. It's not really a tefillin dikur reason, it's a big dikuruna reason. The Torah says that the Kohen has to wear the big dikuruna al basar. It has to be literally on his skin. So we have a tradition that phrase, Yilbash HaBasar, teaches us that there's you're not allowed to have anything which is separating between the big dikahuna and the Kohen's arm. So therefore, the Gemara says, how could he possibly wear the tefillin? He has to wear the big dikahuna, because without wearing big dikahuna, the avod is possible. And one of the dinim of big dikahuna is that you're not allowed to have anything between the big dikahuna and your arm. So you put two and two together, you're not allowed to have tefillin there. So you cannot possibly put tefillin under the big dikahuna. So the mela, he's potter from wearing tefillin. So I might think, just as he's potter from Tefillin Shel Yad, aim of the mitzvah, the rosh, nami lelachayvu, kamash mulan to lamach v'adodi. So the chiddush of the brice is that the two do not necessarily go hand in hand. Kiddushan, as we have a similar mishnah like this in Menachos, Tefillin Shel Yad, aim of kevash rosh, v'shar rosh, aim of kevash yad. So comes the Gemara and asks the question, but lamaisa, why is it that the kohen doesn't wear the tefillin shel yad? Because the tefillin are going to be a chatzitza between the big dikuna and his arm. So he asks the Gemara, maishna diyad dechseviyud b'shabesaro, rosh nami ksibesamta mitznefes arosha. There's a din that the Kohen has to wear the mitznefes. That's also one of the four big dekahuna. So if the Kohen has to wear the mitznefes, so how's he going to do that? It has to be al rosho. So where is the tefillin going to be? The tefillin going to be under the mitznefes. That's going to be a problem of a chatzitza. So the same problem of chatzitza in terms of tefillin shel yad, that the tefillin is separated between the big dekahuna and the arm, that should pose the same problem when it comes to the tefillin shel rosh, that the tefillin shel rosh are going to separate between the mitznefes and the head of the Kohen. So comes the Gemara and says, no, practically speaking, they're not the same. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Saro Hayanira ben Tzitz mitzvah, mitzvah nefesh, shesham aniach tefillin, that when it comes to the tefillin shel yad, so the ksonis, the baggage that the kohen wears, it takes up his entire arm. It's a long shirt, a long rope, it takes up his entire body. So there's no place whatsoever to put the tefillin that you can avoid any chatzitza problems. Enkei the mitzvah nefesh, the mitzvah nefesh doesn't take up his entire head. The Gemara says, the chiddush, even the kohen gadol, who had other things on his head, the kohen gadol had three different things on his head at the same time. Way down, he has the tzitz on his head, he has the mitzvah nefesh on his head, and he has the tefillin on his head. So the Gemara says there's room, that there was a little bit of room between the tzitz and the mitzvah nefesh, and that was the makom of anachas tefillin. So just practically speaking, you can work it out in such a way that the tefillin are not going to be in a place which is separating between the big dikuna and the arm, and the head of the kohen. The Gemara makes a point of saying that even the Kohen Gadol was able to maneuver this stunt of having room for the mitznefes and the tzitz and the tzul and everything. There was a machlekes that we showed him this, where exactly the tzitz was worn. The Torah says that the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz for hayal mitzchal tamid. He wears it on his forehead. So the simple meaning of the word meitzach is, you put it over here. So the Targum doesn't say that. The Targum says vahayal bein einohi, that he puts his bein ha'inayim. Now we know bein einayim from last week. Bein einayim means here but up. It means in the makom of the seir. So the 2 days in Taisim Maseches Yuma, where exactly did the Kohen Gadol wear the tzitz? Did he wear it on his forehead, like the simple pshat on the pasuk? Did he wear it like the targum touches up the pasuk all the way up the makom tefillin? No matter how you slice it, the bottom line is Gemara says that there was room for all three things. So in terms of practically speaking, the Kohanim b'shas avoda did not wear tefillin shel yad because it wasn't feasible for tzuchus chatzitza. And in terms of tefillin shel rosh, in fact, they did wear. So comes the rosh in the second Gemara Mekomos and makes the following observation based on this Gemara. Comes the Russian says, he doesn't understand the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Kohen didn't wear tefillin v'shas avoda because the tefillin can't separate between the begikuna and the arm. So says the Rush, why doesn't the Kohen wear the tefillin on top of the big dikuna? Let him tie the bias of the tefillin shayat on top of his shirt sleeve. So that wasn't even an option. The Gemara didn't even dream of that. Why is that? Says the Rush, it's pashut, because the same way that there's a problem of a chatzitza in Hilchos big dikuna, who a denominator is a problem of chatzitza in Hilchos tefillin as well. So now you're really stuck. You have to have the big kahuna on your arm and you have to have the tefillin on your arm. So something's got to win. So big kahuna more important. So comes the Rosh and says, you see klar from this Gemara, even though there's no Gemara in Shas that spells out that chatzitz apostles by tefillin, the Rosh says it's understood from the Shach of the time, the Gemara Masechet Erechin, that Chazal understood that way. So the Amanami, and then the Rosh goes one step further. The Amanami prayer days is Vachim Sarai and Nira ben Tithlam its nefes, Shisham and Yachtilin, Alma She'en Yachla Nichan Ala its nefes. Says the Rosh, why do they have to leave a little bit of room, a little tiny room, place for the Kohen Gadol to stick his tefillin on? Why didn't he put the tefillin on top of the mitznefes itself? So you see also, you see klar from here that you can't do that because that'll be a violation of chatzitza in terms of Hilchos tefillin. So there's no Gemara b'feirush that says the words chatzitza apostling by tefillin, but the Rosh had a double implication from the fact that the Kohen Gadol from Shel Yad that shows that obviously you can't put the tefillin on top of the bikuna, and from the fact that the Kohen Gadol how to wear the tefillin shel rosh in such a tiny place, that also shows that there's a problem of chatzitza in terms of Hilchos tefillin. So this is the Rosh Hashita. So do all the Rishonim agree with the Rosh? So the answer is absolutely not. The Rashba disagrees with the Rosh. It's Tshuvas HaRashba. Left it off the Maror Mekomos because it's the Beis Yosef quotes about 3 or 4 different versions of what the Rashba exactly said. He kept on saying the same thing over, but in slightly different nuances. So I'll just say, because the numerous Baal Peh, it's important for us. The Rashba basically disagrees with the entire theory of the Rosh. The Rashba says that Chatzitza is not a problem unless the Gemara spells out it's a problem. Unless the Gemara is a Drasha from Al Basaro, there is no Drasha of Kshatim Los Al Yodecha Shloyeh Chotzeis. We don't find such a Drasha anywhere in Chazal. So there is no intrinsic problem of chatzitza in terms of Hilchos tefillin. So l'chor, the Rosh had good rayas that why didn't Chazal, why didn't anybody in the Beis Hamikdash think of this great idea of tying the tefillin on top of the shirt sleeve? So says the Rosh, but it's a totally different reason. The Gemara says in Masachas Menachos concerning the tefillin, l'chol li'os v'lo li'acherim li'os. What does that mean? L'chol li'os v'lo li'acherim li'os. So the Gemara had a hava meaning. What that means is that you have to cover the tefillin shel yad. You have to put your shirt sleeve over the tefillin shel yad. So the Gemara said that's not true. The Gemara says there is no such din. Some poskim say l'chatchila is such a din, and others say there's no such din even l'chatchila. But The Gemara says, what does it really mean? What is l'chol also l'chem li'os? So the way the Rashba understood what the Gemara really means to say is as follows, that you have to wear your tefillin in a place that in theory could be covered up. In theory could be l'chol also l'chem li'os. So if you put it on top of your shirt, so then it's visible to the whole world. So that's no good. If you put it under your shirt sleeve, whether you personally choose to cover it up with the shirt sleeve or not, that's your prerogative, most of the poskim can say. But it has to be within the parsha, it has to have, in theory, be called l'chol also l'chem. So the Rashba says that's the reason why there's a problem of putting the tefillin on top of the ksonas, on top of the big deguna. Not because of a chatzitz, so that's not the problem. It's not a din like going to the mikvah, there's a din of chatzitz like the Rashba presented it. It's a very technical, limited problem of l'chola also l'chem li'os. And now the Rashba asks on himself, if that's the whole reason why you can't put the tefillin on top of the big deguna, that din does not apply to the tefillin sharosh. Tefillin sharosh fakir. Rol kalami arz kishem shem nikra lecha. That refers to the tefillin sharosh. So why can't the Kohen Gadol put the tefillin sharosh on top of the mitznefes? Why does he have to reserve a little bit of hair space to put it separate from the mitznefes? So the Rashba is unclear exactly what he says. That's what I meant before when there are different versions of what the answer to that question is. So some Rishonim quote the Rashba saying the answer to that problem is a very technical problem. Namely, the mitznefes is a big bulky thing. So you're going to put the tefillin sharosh on top of the mitznefes. It's going to be, you're not going to be in the right place. It's going to be hard to be, last week that the tefillin have to be tied on tight. If they're not tied on tight, so they're going to slip around, they're not going to be really the mekomim, they're not going to be yukshartam. So the Rashba says it's a technical problem because of the bulkiness of the mitznefes that you can't really place the tefillin directly on top of that. Marshal Madavidoma, the Gemara says that the Malchim Beis David used to wear a crown. So where did they put the tefillin when they wore a crown? So the Gemara says they didn't put the tefillin on top of the crown. There was a little bit of room. The crown didn't take up the entire head. There was a little spot where they would put the tefillin on also. So why did they put the tefillin on top of the crown? So the Rashi is the same tizma. You put it on top of a big crown, you're not going to be able to mechaven this hamakom properly. That's the way some Rishonim seem to present. Other Rishonim, in quoting what the Rashba says, or what other Rishonim claim the Rashba should have said, could have said, would have said, whatever, the Ran presents it a different reason. That the reason why they didn't put the tefillin on top of the mitznefes, because that would be like a bizoyin for the big day kahuna. You're going to, the mitznefes, the kleah kodesh, you're going to put a prayer tefillin on top of that, even though tefillin themselves are kodesh, but somehow that's going to be like a bizoyin to put something on top of the big day kahuna. But in terms of pure hilchos chatzitza, so the Rashba says it really is not a problem. On the tefillin shayyad, there's a technical quirk in terms of l'chola os l'olachem li'os, whereas the tefillin sharosh is really not a problem. You can somehow circumvent these technical problems. That's what the Rashba says. Let's say a person has something which is not so bulky and it doesn't have such tremendous kedusha. It was a little thin yarmulke, and he puts the tefillin in the bayis of the sharosh on top of the yarmulke. So the Rashba says that's okay. The Rashba says there's nothing wrong with that. There is no psul of hilchos chatzitza. There's a problem of l'chol li'os or l'chem li'os, which is only by the shalyad. So that's why you can't put it on top of your shirt sleeve. That then doesn't apply to sharosh. So therefore, you can't put it on your crown. You can't put it on your mitznefes for all those technical reasons. But if it's something without kedusha, something which is just very thin, it's not going to affect the tightness of the tefillin of being munach and b'mekomam, so that's perfectly acceptable. That's the machlekes to Rashba and the Rashba. At the end, the Rashba says, you know, he's not even convinced that he's right. Maybe his colleague, the Rosh, is right. So he hems in order and says, no, you shouldn't rely on this unless it's a shas of chak, unless you're really stuck. What would be an example of something you're stuck? Let's say you have a bandage or something, you have something there, which would otherwise be a problem of chatzitz according to the Rosh. So the Rashba would say it's not a problem. How do we paskin halacha? Do we paskin that chatzitza is an absolute problem in a Torah like the Rosh says? Or do we say that there really is no din of chatzitza by tefillin? These are just technical issues you have to get around. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Ramakamos. So Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yehidava chaytzeitz by tefillin lebisaro, lo shna shoyad, lo shna shorosh. So couldn't be clearer than that. The Shulchan Aruch says, we paskin like the Rosh, that's an absolute problem. We'll leave out that Ramah, we're going to come back to a little bit later. But notwithstanding what the Mechaba says in Sivdala, the Chik V'Yavod, there's the problem of Chatzitza, comes to Shulchan Aruch himself and says, well, maybe there's an exception to that rule. Adam shu ol nezilos, v'im yitztarach l'anich tefillah sharosh ha-besar lo yanichem klal. If a person, he's very susceptible to getting a cold or something, so he doesn't want to uncover his head. So if you're going to tell him that he can't wear his hat or something, he can't wear his something that's keeping him warm, so he's not going to put on tefillin at all. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, Yesh lahatilo laniach tefillah sharosh ala kova daka samach l'rosh. So says the Shulchan Aruch, b'shas adchak, is either that or not wear tefillin at all. So if you ask the Rosh, so the Rosh would say, so either take off the hat or don't wear tefillin. He says to put the tefillin on top of the hat is meaningless according to the Rashi. Not yotzei, you're not yotzei b'chlal min haTorah. But says the Shulchan Aruch, since the Rashba, we always have in the back of our mind that the Rashba holds that it's really not a problem, and as long as it's not a very thick, heavy thing that's preventing it from being munach b'mkomam, so the Rashba would technically say it's okay. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, okay, it's a nishka felach, it's a shasar chagol. But then the Shulchan Aruch says, v'yachaseh b'pnei haroim. But what you should do is, you should cover it over. You shouldn't have people see you like that. Why? So the Beis Yosef explains that it's going to be a marasayan, because people are going to think, oh, this guy's wearing tefillin on top of his yarmulke, and the rabbi's not saying anything to him, so it must be that's okay. And then the next day, everyone's going to start to do this, even if it's not a shasar chacham. We don't want to advocate this, because we really try lechatchila to follow the position of the Rosh. So basically, the Mechaber says, if you shasar chacham, it's either that or not wear tefillin, so it's better to do that. And the Ramah adds, so comes the Ramah and says, well, you shouldn't make a bracha, because since, in deference to the Rosh, you're not really yotzei the mitzvah, so it's only the Leis Breyer, we're relying on B'shas HaChak and the Rashba, but in the Safik brachas, you really should have said a bracha. The reason why the Shulchan Aruch didn't feel the necessity to say that is because the Shulchan Aruch happens, you never make a bracha on the Tzvon Shel Rosh. We'll get to a little bit later, Mechlekes and Rishonim, whether the normal standard day, you're ever supposed to make the bracha on the Tzvon Shel Rosh. But the Ramah, which I'm meaning Ashkenazim, most Ashkenazim, do make the bracha. So the Ramah says if you have some kind of a shasar chach, you have to put the tefillin on in such a strange way, so you shouldn't make a bracha. That's what the post can say. Sometimes you have a situation of a bandage, so it depends. Sometimes the bandage is such that you're not, it's not, the doctor will say you're not allowed to put anything on. It's okay, so that's the case. So on a shachmat apatir, but sometimes you're able to put the tefillin on top of the bandage. So the post can say you can put the tefillin on. You should put the tefillin on in deference to the Rash Peshita, but misafik, you really shouldn't recite a bracha. So comes the Magen Avraham in the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. Comes the Magen Avraham, makes the following cheshbon: Tefillin Shel Rosh Al Hakovah. This eitz that the Shulchan Aruch says b'shasar chagol, you put the tefillin on top of the little hat. I have Beis Yosef to kulam noktu Shel Rosh Dafka. Aval im yesh lo maka biyad, also aniach al habeged. Says the Magen Avraham, what would the din be if the person has something on his arm? He has some kind of a bandage. He has something there which he has to keep over his arm. So then says the Magen Avraham, nobody would advocate putting on tefillin. Mishum l'chola also al achem lios. Even the Rashba would agree to that, because remember we said the Rashba also said that push comes to shove, you're not allowed to put tefillin on top of a sleeve, either according to the Rosh because of chatzitza, or because according to the Rashba of l'chola also al achem lios. So says the Magen Avraham, therefore nobody bothered talking about the case if you have a macha on your arm, because then you're up the creek, then you can't do anything. So comes the Magen Avraham and says no, he thinks you could save the day even on a macha on the arm. So he says, Koshikos also been dekanal lok tabach, etc. From a high time and nearer, the mutla nicholas martutim sha'agabia macha. Say a person has a bandage, a rag or something which is covering over his macha, so he's allowed to put the tefillin on top of that. And lo sagi balav hachi. Why? Says the Magen Avraham, here's the secret. Ta'alovush beged acher agabav. Says the Magen Avraham, very simple. Put your sleeve on top of that. Says the Magen Avraham, so you'll be mekayim l'chol ha'os lo l'cherem li'os. According to the Rosh, who says you can't put tefillin on top of a shirt sleeve, al tochus chatzitza. So how's that going to solve the chatzitza problem to put your shirt sleeve on top? It's still a problem of chatzitza. But according to the Rosh, who says there's no intrinsic problem of chatzitza, it's only the technical quirk, the technical tangential problem of l'chol ha'os lo l'cherem li'os. So you could solve that problem. So you have a smartut on your arm, you have the tefillin on top of your smartut, and then you have a shirt sleeve on top of that. I'll tell you a secret, Pashas, according to if that treasure in the Magen Avraham is right, so what's wrong with, forget about the guy with the mach, according to the Rashba, every day, I don't want to roll with my sleeve, it's cold and shul, so I'll take off my jacket, put tefillin on top of my shirt, and then put my jacket on top, so shalom ma'isol, v'chol osu l'chem yos, so very, very mechudish tikkun Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham wouldn't advocate that normally. The Magen Avraham says, this is a shasar chach that we rely on the Rashba, but Pashas, the same thing. But now the Magen Avraham is stuck with a kasha. If this is true, that there's such a simple way of getting around l'chalos l'chemios, but just physically covering over it, how come nobody in the Beis HaMikdash thought of that? How come in the Beis HaMikdash they didn't wear tefillin shel yad on top of the ksones and then put another bagging on top? So he says, "No, v'hadlo inicha konem tefillin al ksones had mishum galohay rishon lubosh beged acher agav, because there's a din that a kohen b'shas avoda is not allowed to be yitah begodim. He's not allowed to wear more than four begodim. If he wears an extra beged, so that's possible. That's possible. The avodis chayim misa b'deshamayim. You have to wear only the big dekumah that you're entitled to. The beged, the kohen hedyot wears four big dekumah. within the Kohen Gadol wears eight, no more, no less. If you wear three, it's possible. If you wear five, it's possible. So the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash were stuck. There was no eitzah for them to get around this problem of wearing the tefillin, because if they would have put the tefillin on top of their shirts, even then what? Tell them to put another jacket or something. That would be possible. Let's say the Kohen B'Shas Avoda decides that he wants to wear yarmulke also underneath the mitzvah. So, you know, like today, very often you go out with a hat. Some people like to keep the yarmulke on also. Makes you feel a little, you know, a little closer. So let's say the Kohen decides he wants to wear yarmulke under his mitzvah. So that's a nisa deraisa. That's yitur begadim. You're not allowed to do that. Well, let's say the poskim have a shaila. We'll find it. Here you're bana mikdash. Glasses. You know, it's like Kohen can't see. You're allowed to wear glasses. Is glasses considered to be like a beggar or not? Is that a nisa of yitur begadim? That's a shaila also. So comes the Magen Avraham and says the only reason I didn't pull off that eitz in the Beis HaMikdash because it was a technical hitch of yitur begadim. But basically, in terms of hilchos tefillin, that would be perfectly acceptable. So not everyone agrees to this Magen Avraham. So call upon him. We have machlokes the Rashba and the Rosh. Is there an absolute din of chatzitza in terms of hilchos tefillin? Under normal circumstances, we try very hard to follow the opinion of the Rosh if there is a problem. So we'll never permit lechatchila chatzitzas and tefillin. That you have situations of Shasar Chagodo, so Bashal Rosh, we already saw the post from Megill, if it's a very little, thin type of a thing, if it's a heavy type of a thing, that's a problem. And even when it comes to Tzul and Shalyah, so the Magen Avraham gives you an Eitzah also, that maybe one can argue that it'll be acceptable if you cover something on top of it, and therefore avoiding the problem of Shechola Oslo Lachem Yos. So assuming there's a problem of chatzitza, which is of course the way we're clearly the chatzchila going to be assuming, what exactly constitutes a chatzitza, and which part of the tefillin is one not allowed to have a chatzitza on? So if we go back to the third of the Mamakomos, the Ramah had a comment, the third Mamakomos, when Siv Dalid, the Ramah said, that which it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to have a chatzitza in a tefillin, says the Ramah, v'dafka b'tefillin, about b'ritzuos ein lahakbid. If the only time there's a problem of chatzitza is on the bias, under the bias itself, or on the ritzuos, so presumably it's not a problem at all. So in the super reading of the Ramah, it sounds like that's totally completely mutter, that you can have mamish hetta goma lechat chulisha b'chatchila, you can have chatzitzas under the ritzuos. There's a little bit of a problem with this Ramah, that the mocker for this Ramah is a Chumas HaRashba, and that's the worst person we would want to quote for this din, because the Rashba was the one who wasn't too concerned about chatzitzas to begin with. That's what the post can point out, that that's not a very strong mocker to lean on. We're in Rush territory. We're trying to assume that there is a problem with chatzitzas. So who said that there's a chilik between ritzuas and the rest? So we look in the back on the second page of the Mamakomos, and in the back. So that which the Ramah was making that a ritzuas is not a problem, the Mishnah Berurah qualifies this a little bit. The Mishnah Berurah says in the fifth of the Mamakomos, the acharonim kosvu de ein hokel rak be makom hakrichos ava masha shayach lak shira yesh lahachmir af ritzuos beim shayad beim shorosh. That even within the ritzuos there yesh be yesh means when you first tie, you first put the bias on and a little bit of the first ritzuos around your arm and you tie it around once or twice, that keeps the etzem atzvulin in place. And that if you let go of that, then the whole tzvulin is going to fall off. So that's mamish ma'ake, that part of the ritzuos. So that's absolutely critical. It says the tevi acharonim, you should not have a chatzitza on that. The stomach one has the right to be made. Let's say the tefillin already in place. Now you're tying 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. You're tying, then you're going around your hands a little bit, whatever your minhagim are. So let's say you didn't do any of that stuff. So you're tying the mitzvah tefillin anyway. The mitzvah tefillin is as long as they're tied on tight enough that they're not going anywhere. So then you're tying the mitzvah tefillin. So say the acharonim, if you have chatzitzas further down your arm, that's not a problem. But to have chatzitzas on the initial tying, so the Mishnah Berurah says one really should not be making. Kosvu tochacha magula, and then the Acharonim write that this din that you have to be makbid on chatzitza is an outright rebuke. Al manichem atzvulin agav pei nochris, people wearing the toupee that they put the tefillin on, that's a very serious problem because they put the bias on the toupee. That's according to the Rosh, they're not yet in the tefillin. Vafilu in rak haritzua munach al pei nochris, even if it's just the ritzua that's on the toupee, that's also a potential problem because it's that part of the ritzua that's necessary to keep the tefillin in place. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Mikomokom, Mashru v'dibya magen Avram dechayodom, v'miyesh to maka berosho, v'rach mokom sheretzuos munachem." Let's say a person has a bandage or something on the head, but Baruch Hashem, it's not on this part of the head; it's only over here. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if it's only on the mokom sheretzuos, for lo b'mokom akitzita, mutal lo laniach sheretzuos agabri smartutim shalamako agabri kovadak ulevarech. Even though the Ramah said before that if you're relying on the Rashba of putting tefillin on a bandage, you shouldn't make a bracha. Here the Mishnah Berurah says, here you're allowed to make a bracha. Why is it like a shtickle sveik sveika? First of all, maybe the Rashba is right that there's no problem of chatzitza altogether in the Tzvon Shel Rosh. And even if the Rashba is not right, well, maybe there's no problem in the Ritzuas, like the Ramo himself sounded like. So, Afagav Shech Chatzitza ben Ritzuas, came to the Ramakam Chatzitza in Chatzitza. Same story when it comes to the Shoyat also, that that if the Chatzitza is only on the Ritzuas and it's a Shas of Chat, so maybe one has a right even considering making a bracha. But again, under normal circumstances, L'chatchila, for sure one has to be careful about chatzitzas on under the bias, and one really has to be careful about chatzitzas upon the immediate part of the ritzuas as well. Down the line, so technically speaking, it's okay. The Ikar Mikra Adin, those are where watches. So when the Ikar Adin, they're really allowed to wear the watch, even when they have the tefillin on also. Minig Yisrael, most people have, they take off your watch. That's even though technically speaking, one can argue that's not really a problem. And again, those have rings on the fingers. So also, the Ikar Adin, it's not really a problem. Some have the minig take off, none of the minig take off. But Mikra Adin, anything which is past the initial tying is not really considered to be a problem. But now comes a really critical question as to what precisely constitutes a chatzitza for the purposes of Ilchus Tefillin. So remember the Rosh said that many of the dinim of chatzitza and tefillin. Yeah. The minig is to take it off. The minig is people. Yeah, it doesn't say beferish that the Ramah says ein lahachbis. The Ramah says it's not really a problem, and even the Achrim were mach against the Ramah, but they were makel on the makom akrichos. Although the truth is, I have seen people who know what the Mishnah Berurah says, know what the Ramah says, and still they wear the watch on. I think that most people take the watch. You mean a kid, you got a guy that cares down here or something? Yeah, oh, I see. Mamish Maisa. Halacha Maisa. I know, whatever your father says, I'm asking to. So, remember Halacha across the street. So he's the question is, what exactly constitutes a chatzitza? So remember we said that according to the Rosh, the dinim of chatzitza by tefillin are in effect the same as bigdakuna. Because the pasuk says, yubash al basar. So al tells me chatzitza. And it says, ukshatim los al yadecha. So al alexer shavim means the word al means you can't have a chatzitza. So comes the Gemara in Zvachim and Dafyu Tess and the sixth of the Mamakamas, and has the following shayla. Kina maosha tachutz. Why is considered to be a chatzitza for the bigdakuna? They're like the kids the first day of school, they have a lice check. So the Kohanim will come to the base of Mikdash, you have to check for lice. What's the Shaila? Maybe that's going to ruin the avoid if there's a chatzitza. So comes the Gemara and says, Mesa lo siboy loch tavadi chaitza. If the lice are already dead, so for the Jews, this is a cloth shampoo, is that the, I remember as a kid, that's what we used to use. So if the lice are already killed, but they're still sitting around, you haven't combed them out yet. So yeah, that's not a chatzitza, why not? But chayamai, what if the lice are still jumping around? Maybe that's not a chatzitza. Why? Me Amrinan came into Osava Oslor, Visa since it's moving around, so that's like natural. So that's not really considered to be a devil chotze. So Dilma came to cup it a lochaitza, and maybe since tonight the guy doesn't really want it there, so that's considered to be a devil chotze. So it's not tzarachim in the Gemara. It's a suffix a take in the Gemara, but if the live lice are considered to be a problem, but the dead lice are sure considered to be a problem. So lechora we can be medayik suffering. We can medayik a few things in this Gemara. How much lice does this guy have? Well, we're talking about the guy's head, Roshav Ruby, he's got 100 million pieces of lice under his bias. That's what I'm talking about. We hope not. The stomach means he's got a few, he's got a couple of lice here and there. So this touches on a critical question in terms of defining chatzitza. We know the basic dinim of chatzitza appear in Ilchus Tevila. That's where the original dinim of chatzitza appears. And there the Gemara says quite clearly there was a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai that the only time something is considered to be a chatzitza on a level of deraisa is only if two conditions are met. It has to be rubo and it has to be machpet. It has to be on most of the person's body, and it has to be something that the person cares about, doesn't want, that the person is interested in removing. The Gemara says that this is a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, that only if both of these conditions are met is it a problem in a Torah. It's a problem in the Rabbanon, even if one of those conditions are met. The Gemara says, let's say you have a chatzitza, which is a mir hamachbid, it's not on most of the body, it's on a very small, very, very small, tiny part of the body, but it's something that the person really doesn't want to be there. So the Gemara says, mid the Rabbanon, the medigazera, that's also considered to be a chatzitza. That's why all of our chatzitza shahs that we get, Vizman Azef and the Mikvos, I I think I could safely say I've never gotten a shalat deraisa in terms of a chatzitza. A chatzitza deraisa would mean that the woman, right before she goes to the mikvah, she goes mud sliding, so she's covered from head to toe in mud, and she really wants to take a shower and get it off, but before she takes a shower, she'll go to the mikvah first. So that's a rubo hamak, but that would be a problem. Because matazeh, you get shadows, the woman has a mashu of nail polish left, or she forgot to take out a contact lenses, all those, the common shilas of chatzitza, but matazeh, those are kimat always going to be mir hamak, but shilas. So sometimes they are mir hamak, but in tackle the tefillah is no good, and very often a mir she'ena machbid, because if it's a mir she'ena machbid, even though we have a minig that we try to remove every last shred of anything, but that's only have some minig, a chumra b'yalma mikra din. If it's a mir she'ena machbid, so it's not a problem at all. Mikra din, the whole tefillah is good. So that's why rubu the shalos that come after tefillah end up being a mir she'ena machbid. The woman who calls frantic the next morning that she found that there's a mashu of a piece of dirt somewhere underneath her foot or something, so I usually ask the first question, and if you weren't from and you go to the mikvah, what would you do about that piece of dirt? So she would usually respond, I wouldn't have even noticed it. So if you wouldn't have even noticed it, it means you're not makbid on it, you couldn't care less. And when you notice it, what do? You go run to go take a shower, you couldn't care less about it. So that's called a mir she'ena makbid. So before you go to mikvah, you're supposed to get off everything. But if you didn't, so then the tefillah is still acceptable. So those two klalim of mir, of robe and makbid, which are absolute chaytul yavur in terms of achas tefillah, here the Gemara is talking about another din of chatzitza, and the Gemara doesn't talk about robe. Here the Gemara seems to assume that the kino, it's not covering up robe with the big day kahuna, it's not covering up robe with the guy's head. It's a couple of pieces here and there, but that's still considered to be a potential problem. So the pashas in the Gemara is that halacha Moshe Mesinai, the chatzitza is defined by rubo and makbid combined together. That was a din by achas tefillah that doesn't necessarily carry over to the other din of achas chatzitza. In terms of Big Day Kahuna, and of course the important shayla for us, in terms of Hilchos Tefillin, maybe even a mashu is considered to be a problem. The only thing the Gemara does seem to say is that makbid plays a role. The Gemara says, came in the kapir al-achaitza. That since the person is makbid on it, so that's a problem. The mashmal's being that if it would be not makbid, it would be, the guy, mamish couldn't care less about it, that's for sure not considered to be a chatzitza. So it would appear from the simple reading of this Gemara is that the criteria in terms of defining whether something is a chatzitza in terms of Hilchos Tefillin is it something that you're makbid about. Makbid about means that you want to take it off. You want to take it off at some point, that's also considered to be a davar hamachbid. So lechari, that's going to be a problem. But you see a chiddush in this Gemara that even if it's not robe, that could potentially be a problem. So let's say, for example, a person has dirt. So it's a kind of dirt the person really is machbid on. But right now, he doesn't have any time to go wash off his arm right now. Right? He's got some dirt on his head. He doesn't have time to go wash it off. So yeah, so that's the problem. That's like the kina. That's like the lice. So even though it's only a davar muat, it doesn't matter. Since it's something which you're makbid on, that's a potential problem. There's another famous shayla that the Chorinim have, the Mashkichim and the Yeshivas have made this Mishneh Berurah famous. So the Mishneh Berurah in the 7th of the Marmar Kumos, Mishneh Berurah quotes in the Machtzis HaShekel the following: Kosevim Sefer Machtzis HaShekel V'ro Alay HaMaisa She'osan Ha'anoshim She'magadim B'loroseihim. So those people who the chup, people who have long hair, so Mavad Ki Yuderech Shechetz V'gaiva, just in case you didn't want to hear the Yochas Tfilin part. So the Machtzis HaShekel tells you it's a gaiva dick, it's a terrible Ayim HaShikos V'yerdeh Asim HaKufayin Vav. Okay, we're not wearing your day now, but yesh bo isa benachas tefillin. There's a problem with wearing tefillin. Why? The cave of the gedolim harbe, since the hair is so big. Leikel amebu hana revisay of a chotzin ayin sham. What in the world does that mean? So this is referring to a gemara maseches yevamos. The gemara says that if you have a woman, a non-Jewish woman who wants to convert and she happens to be pregnant, so the gemara says that when she goes into the mikvah, so not only does she become Jewish, so the baby becomes Jewish as well. So the gemara is all shaila why that is. So one of the reasons the gemara says is because the baby's going under the water. The baby's also being tovel in the water of the mikvah. So the Gemara says, the baby's being tovel. The whole mother's body is separating between the man mikvah and the baby. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a chatzitza, that's a natural, normal way of growing. Chatzitza means when there's something artificial, which is you have a nail polish on, you have a contact lens and things like that, you have a clothing on, things of that nature, that's considered to be a davra chatzitza. But the mother's body is not a chatzitza legabi the baby, because that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the natural way Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So that's Haina Revisai, the natural way of growing. A recital literally means derech kedulam. That's not considered to be a problem. I remember once I was saying over this halacha about the muberish and his guy, or the pregnant woman who converts. So I said over this idea that the Gemara says that it's ke'ilu, the baby goes under the water of the mikvah. So one of the people raised their hand to ask me a question. And it was clear from the question that they didn't exactly understand what I meant. What they thought I was saying was, there's a din in Hilchos Mikvos that when you have a kosher mikveh connected to a pasul mikveh, if there's enough of the water is going, there's a hole big enough, like we have in that mikveh, so there's a hole big enough to shaferes a node, so the pasul mikveh becomes like part of the kosher mikveh. So this person who was asking the question thought that's what I meant, that the baby's inside water, inside the amniotic fluid. The amniotic fluid is not enough to be a kosher mikveh, but it's mechubra to the meha mikveh, so that becomes like a kosher mikveh also. So I was listening, and then I couldn't figure out what they were talking about, and then I realized that was the mistake, that they misunderstood. So I said to them, I don't profess to have a degree in OBGYN, but the last that I checked is that if that plug is open between the amniotic fluid, the woman should not be in the mikveh at that point. She should be in the hospital. So I didn't think that's what the Gemara was describing. So I still don't think that's what the Gemara is describing. The Gemara is just saying that since the baby's under the water of the mikveh, so maybe that's a tefillah of the mikveh, it's Hanu Rav Yisayu. So the folks can quote that Gemara Maseches Yevamos to Gabi Yuchas Tefillin also. How could a person put tefillin on their hair? It's not al harosh. It's not on the head. So the answer is that's not a chatzitza. Hair's not a chatzitza. That's the normal natural way of growing. It's Hanu Rav Yisayu. So comes the Machzor Shekel and says that the whole head that we're tefillin on your hair is because that's the natural way of growing. That's in the short hair. But if it's very long hair, so you can't say Hanu Rav Yisayu anymore. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Machzor Shekel, and then he seems to back out a little bit. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, "V'laf chatzitza nami b'shvil hanisar samru miyershal tzamtem shiu mehudakam unacham okom kedin." The Mishnah Berurah says that reason really is not such a great reason if you think about it, because where do you draw the line? Shimshon didn't wear a tefillin. Where do you draw the line? This is natural. Who calls the shots? Who says that's normal? The mashgiach in yeshiva, depends what yeshiva you go to. So different yeshivas have different standards. That's the zekhaveya. So the Mishnah Berurah sounds like he backed out from that svara. That's not really a problem of chatzitza. The Mishnah Berurah says it's a practical reason. If you have very long hair, so the same way we said before, you can't put your tefillin on top of the crown, you can't put your tefillin on top of the mitznefer, so if you have a big, nice, good chops. So maybe that's going to throw into question whether the tefillin are really mekumen properly. So that's really not a chatzitza problem, that's a metzias problem. If the tefillin are mekumen properly, then good. If they're not mekumen properly, then no good. So even though the Mishnah Berurah seems to shy away from this idea of long hair being any real issue in terms of a real problem of ichus tefillin, there are some acharonim who have the following, that the medav amurim that you can't really say that hair is a chatzitza, because ultimately even if it's long hair, it's still Hanu Rav Yisayu. That means if it's Rav Yisayu from where it's coming from, let's say a person's a little bit low on hair in the front, so they're trying to salvage whatever little bits they can get from wherever they want, so they stop pulling from over here and moving everything all around the place. So now you have hair sitting on top of your mekum tefillin, it doesn't really belong there. Is that hair supposed to be coming out of the back of your head, and you for convenience moved it to the front of your head? So some acharonim say that's a taka problem, that's not Hanu Rav Yisayu, that's not natural. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create you like that. Kadosh Baruch Hu took your hair away from you from the front. So that maybe you can throw into question. Maybe that's not Hanu Rav Yisayu. That becomes a somewhat of a tricky question. But again, everybody agrees if your hair is growing normally, if it's short, for sure it's not a problem chatzitza. If it gets very long, so some achrarim had this interesting chumra that maybe that's a problem, and other achrarim seem to ignore that. And another achrarim said even if you ignore that chumra by hair growing in its right place, if it's being transported from somewhere else, maybe that's a potential problem. There is one last issue in terms of Hilchos Chatzitza, which is an issue that also was raised concerning Big Day Kahuna. And again, according to the Rush, everything is carrying over from Big Day Kahuna to Tillin. That's a Mishnah Melech in all places, Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So comes the Mishnah Melech, and as a comment on the Mishnah, it's Mishnah, those who, any of us learn Maseches Yuma, the Mishnayos on Yom Kippur, so we remember these Mishnayos from year to year. The Mishnah speaks about the Kohen Gadol goes to Tovel, and he's all over this topic. He comes out of the mikveh, he goes five times to the mikveh, he comes out of the mikveh and he dries himself off. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says in a sipuk zeh who's going to be gemar b'mekomas harbe. Every time the Mishnah talks about the Kohen Gadol going to Tovel, it says all of it is topic that he dries himself. The chol shemaske tefilas Kohen Gadol k'tani la all of it is topic. So the Mishnah Melech says v'lo reisi l'mefarsh and sipuk zeh chiyuv or orcha de milta nachat. The mistama kol tovel mistapa le'achat tefila. He says why does the Mishnah always talk about drying? Is it a din the Kohen Gadol sa'nu halacha? Kohen Gadol has to dry himself. Or is that the Mishnah is just describing what he did when he came out of mikveh? He didn't want to catch cold. It's cold in Yerushalayim Yom Kippur time, so he dried himself off. So comes the Mishnah Melech and says, "Medivrei Rabbeinu Dekol Mistapik Mashad Dechiyuv." The Rambam doesn't quote history. The Rambam quotes halachas. So the Rambam always writes all of the Mistapik. Mistam it's a chiyuv. What's the chiyuv from to dry himself off? So v'nirei dechiyuv zeh mishum dekaimalon deafilu nima achas ofar ma'isa ben basal lebegad areiz dechatzitza v'dasa psula. If you have even a little bit of a hair or something, or not hair connected to you, but some outside hair or some dirt. dirt or dust or something, that'll possibly have oda. Chmosh Amar Rabbeinu break in mechukle mikdash. Involved lefize yesh locha sheva betvila nidvak bebasa me afriru samayim nima afar. So maybe the water in the mikveh in the base of mikdash, they didn't have such fancy filtering systems like we have today. So it could be there was some a little bit of dirt in the... You ever see the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon? So the mikveh in the base of mikveh also, where the stuff was a little bit dirty. So perhaps when the Kohen Gadol went into the mikveh, so maybe he walks out with a little bit of dirt on him. When Mishimachi chayav l'stapik, so he's got to wash that dirt off quickly. He's got to dry that dirt off quickly, because if he doesn't wipe himself off with a towel, that dirt is going to be a chatzitza between his body and the Beit HaKahuna. To off the name of the Lachosh Lazah, even if you want to argue that's somewhat far fetched, we come back where a customer of Benisham Bedin Zion, Shetzarach Lizosh Lotikanis Haruach Bishasavodab Misrael the Big Dough, Achisrachik Abegami Allah. There's a din, the Piazan and Imam Masachas Vachim, that you have to be careful when you're at the Big Huna that the beggar shouldn't be too high off your body, because when there's a lot of, there's a little bit of airspace, there's a lot of airspace, maybe the air is also a chatzitza. So come to Mishra Melech now for the punch, not a pshita, to lo green mayime ruach. You have to dry yourself off before you put on the big day kahuna, because if you don't dry yourself off, the water itself is a chatzitza. Not because the water has dirt in it, it has it, it dust in it. No, the water is considered to be a chatzitza. That's the Mishnah Melech Chiddush. So many question this Mishnah Melech, because there's a klal in Hilchos Chatzitza for women that Dabar Alach is usually not considered to be a chatzitza. Again, it's a detailed question. When that applies, when it doesn't apply, this is a highly questionable Mishnah Melech. But if the Mishnah Melech is correct, that water is a chatzitza, so the Poskim are the following chumrah. There are some people who have a minig that they call from the shloss, such a minig, to wash your arm a little bit before you put your tefillin on. Why? To get off any dirt. Just in case there's any dirt, you should wash off your arm. So the Poskim say, those who follow that chumrah have to make sure to dry their arm also. Or if people take a shower. Right? It's not such a good idea to take a shower before you put on your tefillin, because if you do it for enough years, then you'll notice that your tefillin is going to start to work, because I don't have the problem anymore, but in the old years, so when your hair is still wet, you put your bias on top of a wet head, you do that for 10 years, so it's going to affect the quality of the bias. So some folks came out of Kepay, Dapi Alacha, according to this Mishnah Melech, you have to be careful, Dafka, to dry yourself off, to dry your hair off, to dry your arm off, to make sure there's no water there. It's a tremendous, tremendous chumrah. What if it's sweat? What if it's not water? A new chumrah. You can't be healthy. If it's hot outside, if the air conditioning's not working in shul, everyone's schwitzing up when they walk in the shul. So usually not really assume that way. We usually assume that sweat is not really a chatzitza. It's hard to believe somehow that water is going to be a chatzitza. That was the chiddush, this chumrah of the Mishnah Melech, and he got it from Big Day Kahuna. He got it from the Lashon and Mishnah, the Ram of Olav and Estapeg, and he carried this over in terms of Hilchos Tefillin. So basically, the halacha of chatzitza and Tefillin, the machlokes that we've shown him, whether it even exists to begin with, we try to assume that it does, and what's considered to be a chatzitza, then you have details in the poskim, the ramachet, the ramuat, the long hairs, the water, these are details, assuming that there's going to be a real problem of chatzitza in terms of a chatzitza.